Greetings in Jesus' name. Been blessed to be part of the service thus far this morning. Just thank you for everything that you've all put into this. Maybe we can just pause and have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just bow before you this morning. We thank you for the truth that you have shown us this morning already. And I do pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply the things that we heard both in the message and the children's lesson, that those things would find their way into our hearts and that they would, that we would purpose to live that way. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have now to place ourselves before you in another message. And Lord, I just pray that you would again, that you would just minister to the needs that each one of us has. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart and help me to apply those things to my own life. And Lord, we want to receive from you today, and we want to live for you. And so, therefore, Lord, we just pray that you would just show us the things that we need to learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, we were on a small trip and had opportunity to spend time with family, and it's always a blessing to do that. But probably the highlight of my week was I took some time and went and visited some of my friends and had a couple hour conversation in an office with three older men at this point, I guess. They're about my age, so I'm not sure where I'm at, but it back when I became a Christian and we were in the same youth group. And then these were three young men that I looked up to. I felt like they taught me things and showed me how to live a Christian life. And as I was pondering that, how did they teach me? They didn't actually sit down and take me through lessons and say, do this, don't do that. But what they did do is they live life the way that I thought a Christian should live. And as I was reading God's word back then, it came together. And so therefore, I felt confident that I could look up to them and be encouraged by their life. And as I was sitting there visiting with them, we had good conversations about all kinds of things. But something that stood out to me is Daniel, which is just a couple years older than me. He is currently fighting for his life. He would say that he doesn't have a death sentence over him, but he has cancer. And he has taken treatments in the past last week. He was scheduled for another set of treatments, and the doctor said that he wasn't ready to have treatments, that his body wasn't able to take them. So wasn't able to take treatments. What stood out to me is the peace that he has. And it's like, wow, even at this time, he's an example to me and gives me a desire to live for Jesus. I see hope coming out of his eyes. And as we were talking about it, he's like, well, I don't have the death sentence over me. I feel good. And he's still at work, working with his brother. And he considers life to be good. What an example. What a testimony. And so, as a new Christian, back when I was 17, these were men that I looked up to. Fast forward to now, and I still consider these as men that I look up to and am encouraged by spending time in their presence. This morning, the title of my message is Being a Godly Example to Others. As we ponder that, sometimes maybe we try too hard. Maybe we're trying to appear to be somebody at the right times. But what we really need is to experience what was mentioned this morning already as humility, a relationship with God, and living for Jesus in all places, in all times. And as we do that, what's going to happen is you're going to show others how to live for God. And you're going to motivate others to live for God. That's what I experience spending time with these friends of mine. Were they perfect? No. Did we disagree at times? Yes. We had our things, but we spent a fair amount of time together. And so we got to know each other through good and through difficult things. For a scripture this morning, I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and just look at one verse here. And the heading of this chapter in my Bible says, The Walk of a Good Minister of Jesus Christ. And who are we looking at here is Verse 12 here, Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So here, this verse is talking to those that, not the older people, but those of us that consider ourselves younger. We often want to excuse ourselves and say, well, we look at someone older than us. And it's like, well, yeah, someday I want to be like that too. But this morning God is speaking. This verse here is talking to all of us. But it is saying, let no man despise thy youth. Now is the time for us as believers to take these things on and to live them out in our lives. We're to be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, and just a couple more verses here that I'd like to read. Chapter 2, starting in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So here, in these verses here, again, I think it's speaking to all of us. It's admonishing us to live our lives in a certain way, that our lives would be an example to others. And it motivates and challenges and encourages, brings conviction. I remember when I first became a Christian and I started hanging out with believers, people that were born again, people that cared about their speech. And I heard myself saying things that I realized were not good. And because of the people around me, not because they said, "Hey, Emmanuel, what did you just say?" They actually didn't say anything. They lived their life a certain way. It brought conviction to me, and it's like, that's something that I need to deal with. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 tells us, "Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners." Here we're reminded that this kind of relationships, hanging out with this kind of communication, that this lifestyle has an effect on people. I'd like to encourage us also that being a godly example also has an effect on us and others. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16 here tells us a little bit about who we should be. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." I believe this is a very good illustration of what living life should look like. What, as we live life, this is what it is. The things that are in our hearts are going to come out. The relationship that we have with Jesus, the love that we have for him, is going to come forth. And it's going to put seeds out there into other hearts, for good or for bad. That's been my experience with people that I realize that I can look up to in the life that they've lived. And that is true for each one of us. In John chapter 16, in this passage, verse 7 through 11, we see here the work of the Holy Spirit. What God's Spirit does. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you all, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me again. And a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. The Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, as we go through life, we experience the Lord in our lives. We experience promptings of what God would have us to do. Going back to 1 Timothy 4 with the verse that I opened with in verse 12. Just a couple of things I'd like to point out there. It talks about speech. That our words are to be a presentation of our life in Christ. When we think about our speech, when are we to pay attention to our speech? It's not just here this morning. It's not just when we pray. It's not just when we read our Bible. But it's from the moment that we rise up out of our beds to when we lie down to sleep. It's in that time frame that our speech betrays something. It betrays the life that we are living in Jesus. It shows what we're experiencing. We express our joys, we express our sorrows, we express our fears. We express when we fail and everything in between. Number two talks about conduct. The dealings as we deal with people, conduct, life, behavior. This, how do we, as we analyze our lives, are we representing Christ well in that? Number three, love, affection, goodwill. Is our love being, is the love that we show, the love that we live that comes forth from our lives, is it representing Christ well? In Luke chapter 10, a couple of verses here, going down to verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Here, this was a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus' response to this was, thou answerest right, this do and thou shalt live. But this young man here, in verse 29, he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? That was a question. Who does he need to live like this? Who does this fall under? And we follow down to the next parable in this chapter. We can get a picture of, in verse 34 and 35, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we see here what happened. In verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He saw a need here, and he dealt with it. He helped him. And on the morrow, when he was departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Here was an example given of someone that was in desperate needs. It would appear like he was lying in the ditch and dying. And it was a dangerous place. And we see the example given here of someone reaching out and helping somebody that he probably didn't know. And I think as we, that's a good representation of who our neighbor is. Number 4, faith. A faith that is simple, but believing. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. We see Jesus doing a work, and we see life changing around him. Just a simple but believing faith, living out our faith. Living out the things that are in our hearts. And number 5, purity. Living a life that is pure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The couple verses before that just talk about the sinfulness of our hearts and the different sins in when we think about purity and wanting to live pure. We can all go back and say, well, yeah, I have a lot of ugly things in there. But this verse here gives us hope. It's a living a life that is changed, experiencing healing from Jesus and being a new creature in him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In Jesus' teaching on being a servant and what that looks like, living a life of example, the things that we teach people by the things that we do and say. In Matthew chapter 12, we see here in this passage, Matthew 12, verse 9 to 14, where Jesus healed a man that had a withered hand. He showed kindness. And in verse 14 here, we see the people around him that were, we can tell that they were not happy with what took place here. And then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. That's what the Pharisees felt about the good that they saw coming out of Jesus' life. And something I want us to note here is in verse 15, says, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. We see Jesus withdrawing himself from these people that were against him. They were counseling how they might destroy him. And maybe he probably left because it wasn't safe to be there. But they also didn't want his presence there. And so it tells us in verse 15 that Jesus knew it and he withdrew himself. But there was a certain group of people that followed him. They continued to follow after Jesus in spite of the things that were going on. We don't all know what was going on there, but we do know that in the end of verse 15, it said that Jesus healed them. They followed after Jesus, and Jesus healed them. That's a promise that we can have. If we recognize this morning that our lives are broken, that I'm not the example that God wants me to be, that I'm not living the way that God wants me to live. If we do what these people did here in verse 15, Jesus was going to a different place. And this multitude followed him, and Jesus saw that, and he healed them. If we seek after Jesus, that is what we can experience. As a servant, we see here in this passage also, it seems like Jesus didn't push himself on the people. He knew the needs. He knew what was going on. But the people came to him. Now, as we think about godly examples, I'd also like to look at what life looks like just from a couple of passages in Scripture when self is involved. When self-interest is involved and how that plays out. In Matthew chapter 20, and in these passages, we see self rising up and self-interest being the high the highlight of these verses here. Matthew chapter 20, going down to verse 20 and 21. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. They were coming to Jesus here, James and John. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. This was a request, thinking about they wanted the best position. They thought that they deserve the best position. And in verse 24, we see what this kind of thinking and these kinds of desires produce. In verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. It didn't bring unity. They had lifted in their own minds, they had lifted themselves above the rest of the people, the rest of their team, and thought that they deserve better, more. And it brought discord. In Genesis chapter 4, if we read through that chapter, we see the account there about Cain. And the example that he left us, he had no concern for others. That passage, we see how God rejected his sacrifice. And how Abel's sacrifice was accepted. And instead of dealing with the sin that was in his life, he did exactly what we learned in the children's lesson here, is he wanted to eliminate that thing that made him look bad. He got to the point where he was willing to actually kill his brother. He was so angry. In God, later on, in I think it's verse 9, God approached Cain and asked him about it. Asked him about his brother. And Cain said, it's like, well, am I my brother's keeper? As servants of God, as a church, as a team of believers, we must realize and care for each other. We are to look out for the interests of others. Not try to jockey ourselves into a position that makes us better or more comfortable than others, which will bring discord, but rather to serve one another, to help. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What I hear coming out of that verse there is a true care. And not a heart that is looking to destroy or discourage, but rather a heart that is looking to help bring healing, to help restore relationships, to give people a desire to get right with God, to excel. Not only get by, but actually grow into be faithful and successful. In Philippians 2, verse 3 there, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Talking about humility. We heard about that this morning. If we want to be effective for Christ, if we want our lives to speak to others by example, this has to be part of our lives. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In closing here, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain's selfishness, thinking about self, caused him to hate his brother and to kill him. Selfishness will only cause problems. Selfishness destroys others, and at the same time, it will destroy us as well. Selflessness in Christ will bring you great blessings. It will bless you. It will bless others. That's what I experience many times. Looking back to spending time with some friends of mine in Pennsylvania last week, and looking back over the interactions that we had and how they were willing to speak into my life by the way they live their lives. I didn't see selfishness coming out of their lives, but rather it was selflessness. It was a relationship with God that they had, and they were showing that by the way that they live. May God bless each one of you as we seek to be that to each other. As we strive to do that, wherever we go, we don't need to be concerned about who's watching or who's not. It's just the way that I live my life. May God bless each one of you as you allow the Lord to work through you in that way.